Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for this weekend's edition. My co-host, Chad Marquitz, he's away this week, as you've all probably noticed throughout the week in our daily editorials, but he will be back next week. This weekend show, it's going to focus a lot on this weakness that we are seeing at the end of the week and almost every sector across the board. It seems like safe assets, risk on assets, they're all getting hit. And well, these type of scenarios, they can lead to just further declines when we see everybody rushing for the exit. We're going to cover that. We're also going to cover the sell-off in the precious metals as well. So I am kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. This is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. On the retail side of things, he writes in the No Trader and has this other newsletter called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. Rick, let's start off with what I just said, the weakness across the board to end the week. Thursday, Friday, we saw selling pretty much throughout the day. We're recording this about halfway through the day on Friday, and it's looking like another pretty bad day, and even more importantly, a bad end to the week. What's your take from this broad environment of everyone seeming a bit scared with their positions?
Well, thanks for having me, Corey. If you look at the S&P where it's currently trading, and as we record this, it's down about 75 points on Friday afternoon. You take a look at where the high was this week, and it was a little over 4,500, and now we're just a tad over 4,300. So we've given back 200 points on what's another kind of spike failure type of move to gain ground. And where it's positioned now, looking at some of the indicators I do, so one of them that's always been a key component to me is the cloud charts, Ichimoku, as technical analysts would know it. It's a Japanese indicator. This is showing weakness. Where we are now actually has a bit of support, but if we break under 4,300, you've got 4,265 next, and then nothing really in between there and the lows that we saw earlier this year. The Fed, what of course everybody's interested in is the fact that when Chairman Powell spoke to the IMF committee, and or actually it was a debate, what he shared is not anything that the market wasn't anticipating. In other words, a 50 basis point hike, which he said is now certainly on the table. The market had already assumed, based on Fed fund pricing, that we were going to see 50 bips in the May meeting. And yet, it's since he started talking Wednesday afternoon that the market peaked and has done this massive reversal. So in that sense, the news that we knew didn't change, and yet the marketplace did significantly. And you can either try to dig deeper into the conversation that was had, but much of it doesn't really get you a different tonality than what people knew of going into that IMF debate, which means that there's serious selling going on across the board. This is almost what I'm saying is it probably would have been there anyway. It's just getting more exacerbated because as we sell off, selling begets new selling. And when you take a look at the market over the last dozen plus years, let's say since March 2009 when the great financial crisis ended, when you look at where the S&P was then versus where the S&P got to 4,800-ish, in the first week of this year, the dramatic increase, we're still, not all that far away from all-time highs. It's obviously growing as we decline. But when you put the market movement into the context of what we've had during all this essentially free money period that the Fed has fueled with just one or two minor tightenings along the way, but not what now is clearly a full-scale tightening cycle that they are very clear about. And the fact that they are essentially telling people that they're going to pressure the markets. They need to get rates higher to slow things down. They are basically saying that we are going to affect the risk asset structure that currently exists and has existed for years. And therefore, it is a clear sign of tightening and gives good reason, more so than we've seen in years, of why it makes sense to reduce equity exposure. Now, it doesn't mean you take it down to zero. It doesn't mean the world's going to fall apart. What it means is that moving higher is going to be a much more difficult thing to do over time now than it has been in the past dozen years. And that's, the biggest message that not only that the Fed's giving, the market's giving, and what I've been telling you and others for a few months now, which is use rallies to reduce exposure in the market and especially get rid of the junk that you have in there that is not going to come back, not in 3 months or 6 months, but years potentially. The fact that the NASDAQ peaked a year ago, and some of the names are down 50, 60, 70%. If you're holding them still, this is not, you know, these names are not coming back in 2022 or 2023 or probably even 2024. Not to get back to where they were. It could be years, many, many years, because there's been a massive compression in the price that portfolio managers are now willing to pay for growth stocks. So if you've got losses in your portfolio, and almost all of us do have some real junk in there from purchases that have absolutely fallen apart, that the buy the dip that we've done, let's say in some tech names in the last year, that have just fallen by 50% or more, those are really good candidates to face the fact that it would take you years and years to get that money back, just to get break even if you're lucky. I rather take my loss and offset gains that I can now also take out of the portfolio and not have to pay capital gains taxes on, because I have losses to offset them. So some of the names that you've had material wins on also are good candidates to lighten up on. And use those write-offs, those losses that are not coming back anytime soon, to offset them. And that's kind of, I've done a fair amount of shifting in my portfolio in the last month. I sold out of some names earlier today, and I continue to, simply to lighten up on non-performers and or take off some of the ones that I've had that have been good performers that I can use to offset the losses so I don't have to pay taxes on the gains. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about what's going on and how to best play it for people.
All right, very interesting. So a little bit of tax planning there, too, from Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, hey, I totally understand the aspect of being a bit more defensive in these markets because, well, look at what has happened so far this year. We even had a bit of a warning coming late last year when, quite frankly, markets were already looking kind of toppy and showing a bit of weakness into the end of the year. That's continued this year. And again, it's all around this narrative of central banks tightening monetary policy. We'll see just how far the central banks can go with this tightening policy. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Rick Bensignor.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Now, Rick, I want to dive a little bit more into some market-specific sectors that you are playing. You do write that 7-11 piece where you pick 7 of the 11 spider ETFs, all with the goal to outperform the S&P. Please share with us what's in, what's out on the 7-11 report.
Well, so we made a shift. I'm not going to go through the whole portfolio because that's what subscribers get. But I will tell you that we did make a material shift mid-month. In fact, it was, I guess it was probably Monday of this week, because last Friday was Good Friday, right? We were closed. So for the first time since we launched this product in August of 2020, and as you say, the goal of the 7-Eleven report is to outperform the S&P, so our benchmark is the spiders, and what we do is put you in a maximum of 7 of the 11 spider ETFs that are the macroeconomic ones like XLE, XLK, XLI, etc. We put you in no more than 7, no less than 5 and no more than 7 at the beginning of any month, and with the goal of outperforming the S&P. So since August 1st, 2020 through March 31st this year, we had outperformed the spiders by 616 basis points, 6.16%, by using this model and just doing a little bit of tweakings at the beginning of each month. And generally, I have never made an intra-month move until this month. But I didn't like some of the positioning I had on, and without going into all the details, what I'll tell you is I shifted on Monday more defensively. I took out some of the growthier parts, which we've been overweight. So, for instance, if you were overweight tech this year, it's been a rotten place to be overweight. At the same time, we've been very overweight energy, and that has more than offset the losses we had by being overweight tech. I've taken tech down to being a pure equal weight, and the reason I don't take it out of the portfolio is it's 28% of the S&P. If I took XLK out, I'd have to make up 28% across a bunch of other ETFs, which really makes them significantly overweight. But what I've done is taken it down to at least being no more than what its value is, its allocated weighting in the actual S&P. And we've moved more defensively. We put in, you know, staples. And at the beginning of the week, when we did this, I'm like, oh my God, I just sold the low here. And not in tech, but like, I just got into staples at a bad time. And here it is at the end of the week. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I got into staples. And this is what the market's doing to you too. It's getting you very unsure of what decisions you're making is being right. We're seeing this, you know, big up move to start the week, and then since Wednesday afternoon, straight down. This is a difficult environment, so you've got to kind of look at the bigger picture as best you can and not get caught up in the minutiae of day-to-day trading because it'll drive you crazy. I'm content having put some allocation into staples to just reduce the risk of the portfolio in the sense of take away from the growthier parts more, and, you know, get a little bit more defensive. And, you know, for the first couple of days of the week, I go, uh-oh, maybe not such a good move. And now I'm like, glad I did. And I think in general, I like the move. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think it was the right thing to do. And when I look at what the technicals are saying now, it's the same thing. We either kind of hold right around here for another trading bounce, or we lead to a test of the lows. And I'm not sure this market needs a test of the lows because March already tested February's lows. So I don't really think we need to again test this low, the 2022 low. If we do, we probably go lower.
Okay. So it sounds like we could just be choppy here for the next little while, range bound in many senses. Rick, one thing, big picture-wise, that I want you to make sense of, since we're talking individual sectors, is what's going on with the financial sector? Because I thought financials were supposed to do well as rates rise. Clearly, it's not that simple, but financials peaked pretty much right at the beginning of this year. Now, they haven't sold off nearly as hard as some other sectors, but again, higher rates not helping financials. Where's the disconnect?
Not at all. And I think this has been a very crowded trade in the sense that if you were to look at financials, let's say XLF divided by the SPY, right? So a relative performance chart. There are three tops over the last, four, five, 6 months or so. And now we're getting to potentially or maybe a third bottom. So this has been in a big trading range in what should have been a straight-up looking chart. In other words, XLF outperforming the S&P and pretty much continuously doing so, considering how much rates have moved up. 5-6 weeks ago, the U.S. 10-year was at 1.75%. It's now at, you know, 2.9%. And or 2.8, wherever we are right now. But, I mean, it has had a substantial move in a very short amount of time. And you would have thought that that would be, yeah, it's 2.91, that would be a huge driver for financials. And yet it's not. And the only, there's two things that come to mind that I've written about to clients of why that is likely. One is very crowded trade. Everyone on the street was anticipating higher rates, and we got them, and yet the amount of exposure already of being overweight XLF couldn't, there was just nothing to fuel it anymore, because basically, I hate to use the word all, but let's say the bulk of the people on the street were overweight financials looking for higher rates. They got them, but there's nobody to still keep pushing financials higher. That's number one. Number two is the speed at which the rates moved higher in the last 5-6 weeks, I think, is one of the bigger problems for the market. A slow and steady up move would have been much preferred than a 115 basis points move in this amount of time. And so I think you saw a yield curve go inverted for a little bit. Now it's not. Portfolio managers have to change the duration of their portfolios because of this type move. It really throws things out of whack quickly. I think there's just too many components here that have been at play from what we call from the technical side of the market. And I don't mean technical analysis in this particular case. It's one of the few times I don't. It's actually within the structure of how the bond market is priced and carried by portfolio managers. There's a lot of stuff going on that PMs have to stay within their mandates of how their funds are set up. And because of this constant movement, you're seeing a stall in financials. I think it's potential that within the next couple of weeks, they actually bottom in relative terms to the S&P, because they have been in a trading range and we're getting much closer towards the bottom end of the range. But this has been something that has really messed with some people's minds, and some are, you know, still sticking with it, that despite the fact that they could easily be now down in their portfolios from the time that they went overweight financials.
All right. Thanks for your insights there, Rick. We're out of time for this segment. I'm bringing you back on next segment, and we're going to talk about the metals sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is announcing a plan to cut the cost of prescription drugs. In a speech in Washington State Friday, Biden saying he wants Congress to limit the price of insulin to $35 a month and wants to limit what seniors pay for prescription drugs. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights says plenty of evidence has been found of Russian war crimes committed against Ukrainian civilians. Spokesperson Ravena Shadamsai says the numbers are chilling.
There already has been a bloodbath. We're talking about 2,343, at least 2,343 civilians who have been killed. And we're talking about the summary execution of more than 300 civilians. We are very concerned. We're very worried about what's coming next.
USA Radio News. A governor is taking away a big corporation's tax break.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill Friday terminating the Walt Disney Company special tax district that allowed it to operate as its own government. Reedy Creek Improvement District 32830 has a new sheriff in town.
People say they do have services, utilities. We're going to take care of all that. Don't worry. This is all. We have everything thought out. Don't let anyone tell you that somehow Disney's going to get a tax cut out of this. They're going to pay more taxes as a result of it. It's just, you know, we really need to get away from this type of treatment. I don't think Walt would appreciate what's going on in this company right now. I'm sorry.
The new law takes effect next year in June of 2023. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Prime.
NASCAR drivers preparing for some super speedway driving as they're in Talladega, Alabama. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Rick Bensinger. Final segment with Rick here, and as promised, we're going to get into the metals resource sector. Just as a note, everyone listening on the radio, these are all segments of part of a much larger interview with Rick Bensinger. To hear that full interview, just visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting. Rick, let's start off with gold, because gold was doing pretty well, tested this month back to 2000. The gold stocks were doing well, or at least the majors were. Newmont, the largest miner, was at all-time highs. But we've seen a bit of a shift. This week, Tuesday, was a bad day for the stocks, something that we had seen in prior weeks, but we didn't get that money filtering back in to end the week and ending stronger. We saw GDX down 5% on Thursday. It's down another 3% as we're recording now. What's your takeaway from the precious metals that are, again, supposedly a defensive sector, but getting sold off with everything else?
So, you know, my favorite of the metals is gold, and I am still personally sticking with my gold investments, and I've had GDX for years in my portfolio, and gold itself, yeah. So I have gold bullion too, because I own like PHYS, which is the Sprott physical gold. I do have a little GLD also, but I think I have the bulk of it in PHYS. And I've been holding on to them. You need to have the patience of a saint when it comes to gold for the last couple of years. You know, it's since it made its all-time high in the summer of 2020, it pulled back from almost, what, 2100 or so all the way down to about 1675. We again got above 2000 this week. About 5 weeks ago, we were above there too, and it came off. And I'm kind of thinking of gold is A, you need patience to play gold. It is a very, very difficult market to trade short term. So you own gold because of what you think owning gold represents as a hedge in your portfolio, a possible way to make some money speculatively, but generally more so as a hedge. And if you think of it in terms of it generally being a fairly small part, sub 5% of your total portfolio, it's the type of thing that, you know, you keep in there as a hedge. And so even if you had 5%, it can't offset what 95% of your portfolio is doing. So it's a hedge against inflation. It hasn't been a great hedge considering how much inflation has moved up and that gold hasn't moved up anything close to what inflation has. You've got the dollar that continues to rally because of higher rates in the U.S. and the demand for U.S. dollars. Higher dollar values hurt the price of gold because gold is generally traded globally in U.S. dollars. So when it costs you more dollars to buy gold it outside of the U.S., it hurts your return. But I still think the fundamentals are right for gold over time. There are going to be those who argue with me. I talked to some of the biggest gold portfolio managers in the world, and granted there's a certain bias there on their part because they're gold portfolio managers and need to own gold, that they are going to have a generally bullish spin to it because that is what their portfolio is made up of. But I do think the long-term fundamentals still favor gold. And if you just hang on with it over time, it will pay off. It has certainly paid off. You know, if you look at gold over the last 10 years, how much you've made, it's been very good. It goes through periods of, you know, sideways type markets, which we're in now and have been since, let's say, I guess 2 years since, or almost 2 years since the summer of 2020. And if you get new highs, then you have, you know, a breakout of a whole nother, you know, rounded bottoming pattern that would just suggest higher prices. So the long answer here to a shorter question, so I apologize that it's taken me a while to just get to the bottom line here, but it is that I continue to hold gold. I think you need to, but you have to have patience. So if, you know, if you're a 30-year-old listening to the KE report, this is not going to be your type Bitcoin or Tesla or, you know, type investment that you're doubling your money quickly. No, that's not what gold is. It never has been. It's not meant to be that. Up until 1974, it backed every U.S. dollar. It's just something you keep in your portfolio as a hedge against inflation for that percent of your portfolio. And that's kind of what I think. So I'm holding it. I continue to hold my GDX. I continue to hold my bullion. And if I had to give you a price now, I generally want to see at this point us not get much beneath the weekly middle Bollinger Band, which is the 20-week moving average. That's, I don't know, just shy of, I don't know, maybe around 1975, I'm sorry, 1875, something like that. As long as we stay above that, I'm kind of content and just holding. If we break that, then I'm not so sure that it may be the type of thing that it'd take a little off. And then, unfortunately, you'd have to pay higher to get back in because I'm not likely going to buy it back unless we went all the way down towards the bottom of the range. I'm not likely to buy back. So it's just the type of thing you have patience and you know, you hold for 20 or 30 years and you're glad you did.
It's a safe, boring market, or at least it should be, right? Even though we are getting some more volatility. What do you think is or could pressure the precious metals then? Is it the rising dollar? Is it these rising rates all in this environment where we probably will have fairly high inflation, although we could have maybe just seen a peak in total inflation growth?
Yeah, I think those are the and they're related to each other, but I think those are the two biggest problems for near-term advance in gold, and that is the dollar that's, you know, the dollar index is trading over 100, peaked around 102, I think it was the beginning of last year, although I don't remember exactly, but I think a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, before it fell apart. So, I mean, there is some 102 to 104 is some real long-term resistance, so we're trading, you know, a little over 100, so that's an issue. And rates going higher. The bottoming pattern in the U.S. 10-year for those of you listening who are technically inclined, is an inverted head and shoulders pattern. So if you looked at the TNX and looked at a weekly chart that went back, you know, several years, you'll see the inverted head and shoulders pattern. It measures to about 3.25%, which happens to have been the last high in the U.S. 10-year before the dive to all-time lows. So that is my, you know, target of this move. But it doesn't mean it has to stop there, and it doesn't mean it has to get exactly to 3.25. And obviously we're getting closer and closer. But that is a headwind that is going to keep a lid on gold unless something dramatically changes. And look, if the dollar pulls back to 95, gold could get the lift off it needs, as could silver. And remember, you know, something like silver's trading at less than half its all-time high because silver got to $50 in 1980 when gold got to $850. Silver's still now less than half, and gold's obviously way above 850 and much closer to even its current all-time high. So between those two, gold has been by far the better investment. I do own some silver, too. I fell in love with silver in 1980 when I was a college kid. Before we started recording this, Corey, you were telling me that you had spent a semester in Europe. Well, I also did. I was in London for a semester. And back then, it happened to be 1980 when the metals peaked. But I walked into a British bank, and I bought, I think it was 10 ounces of silver. I bought 10 one-ounce silver bars, which wasn't a lot of money worth, but it was just kind of cool to have some silver. And I still have that somewhere in a safety deposit box. But besides that, it's when I really first started getting interested in silver. And although it's been a long haul since then, you know, I've bought the SLV on pullbacks over the years. I do have some affinity towards precious metals, but as a percent of my entire portfolio, it's just a few percent in total. So it's just something to hold on to over time.
Rick, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Alright, welcome back everyone. We are here to wrap up the weekend edition with Mark Chandler. I hope everybody enjoyed those first three segments with Rick Vensignor. We covered a lot of the different sectors, and with Mark here, I think we're going to be focusing a little bit more on some of the currency moves. Mark is the managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, again, just a broad question. The way I started off with Rick in the first segment is weakness across the board to end this week, Thursday and Friday. Markets, it doesn't matter what you're looking at, seem to be moving lower. I don't know if this is truly just a fear trade where everyone wants out by the end of the week, but at least it's not next week where we end the month. But who knows? We could finish next week on the back foot, and that could be, I think, even more negative for investors. Overall, though, what catches your eye the most about this weakness to end this week?
Yeah, the stocks are looking ugly. I mean, I just got the S&Ps now going through a key retracement from the bounce from the middle of last month. So I think that the issue really is what's driving this. And I think it's really the same old factor that has been sort of weighing on stocks for a while, and that is rising interest rates. And it's not just in the U.S., but it's a global phenomenon. The Federal Reserve is just looks to be among the most aggressive to raise interest rates, at least at what the signals are to the market. And put that in perspective for you, the U.S. two-year note, which is sensitive to Fed moves, is up 25 basis points this week alone. That's as if the market has put in another Fed hike, and that's really more or less what they're doing. Is if you look at the Fed funds future strip, at the market's pricing in a very aggressive turn of the Federal Reserve. And I know we say, you know, we've talked about this before, and we say, well, isn't it priced in already? And that's really one of my first points, is that no, it's not priced in yet, because if you take a look at the December Fed Funds futures contract, it has been selling off for 5 or 6 days in a row. And so what that means now is the market is saying 50 basis point hike next month is a done deal. 50 basis points in June, the following meeting, done deal. Another 50 basis points in July, done deal, fully priced in. And what the market is pricing in now is even another 50 basis point rate hike in September. And this, of course, is on top of the balance sheet reduction, which is also going to be announced next month, likely begin in June, likely to accelerate to $95 billion a month, which is twice the pace, roughly, of what it was in the 2017-2019 experience.
This is just a crazy move in rates, and the crazy move from really March. It was March that the 10-year was at right around 2%, and now we're almost at 3% all within a month and three quarters, which is crazy. And Mark, to your point that the expectations are going to be that the Fed is going to be the most aggressive central bank out there, we have already seen the Central Bank of Canada raise by 50 basis points. Do you think the Fed is actually going to get in that many 50 basis point hikes?
Well, I think this is what the Fed's using this code word now, expeditious. And I think that's what it means is the Federal Reserve, given how high inflation is, the Federal Reserve wants to bring Fed funds rate up towards neutral this year. And so I think that in some ways what this means is that the economic data is of less consequence, that the Fed's convinced that inflation is going to be sticky, and so they need to bring it up to a neutral setting. So what that means is that by the end of the year, we're looking at close to 3% for the Fed funds. Can we get there? I think so. But what does that mean? I think that it means that, as Powell tried to explain yesterday before the IMF panel that he was on, that they're front-loading the tightening. And so I think that so I guess the underlying principle is something like this. The Fed will raise rates until something breaks. Does anything look like it's broken now? I'd say probably not the stock market. That's not going to be enough to get the Fed to move. But it's kind of interesting, though, you know, because for a long time people talked about the Fed put, meaning that when the stock market weakened dramatically, the Federal Reserve would ease policy. Powell tried to disabuse people of that notion on the idea that what the Fed is most interested in is financial conditions. And right now it wants financial conditions to tighten. Weaker stock markets, stronger dollar, higher interest rates are all signs that financial conditions are tightening. But you know who's got that put on the stock market? President Xi, China. So the Chinese stock market was falling sharply. And then in the middle of the week, it wasn't the middle of the week, it was yesterday, Thursday, would have been the 21st. Apparently, a Chinese regulating body called the China Securities Regulatory Commission got the big financial institutions together and told them to buy stocks. Today, Friday, the 22nd, the Chinese stocks, looking at it's called the CSI 300, which is the top 300 companies of the Shanghai and Shenzhen market, rallied today. So the put, the central bank put or the official put, more in China these days than the U.S. And again, the selling off of stocks is a consequence of Fed tightening, and this is more or less desired as a way to tighten financial conditions. This is the way Powell says monetary policy affects the economy. It operates through the financial conditions.
We just haven't seen this for a prolonged period of time, right? Usually the way that the Fed is impacting financial conditions is by freeing up money, injecting money in a number of different ways. So this environment is just so different. Even though we have seen rate hiking cycles over the last decade, they were so short-lived. What makes this one different?
I think what makes this different is that the inflation is so much stronger, and I think it's sort of like, you know, you're driving along in your car and you're fiddling with the radio and you find you're drifting a little bit in another lane. And our tendency is to overcorrect. And I think that the Federal Reserve had said previously, look, we think that the rise in inflation is temporary. But if it doesn't prove to be temporary, if it proves to be more persistent and higher than we expect, we have the tools to address it. And so I think that many people, perhaps ourselves, critical of the Federal Reserve getting behind the curve, and I think that they're just trying to catch up. And to do so, I think they're going to have to break something. And I don't think it breaks this year. I think the break really takes place next year.
What do you mean by a break? Does that mean recession? Does that mean market crash? Does that mean something else?
Well, for me, it means so the part of the economy, you know, we had this week we had existing home sales, new home sales. Those are interest rate sensitive sectors of the economy. I mean, they were generally better than expected. So what's going to break? I think that we're seeing a sign of what's going to happen in the consumer. Not right away, but I think that in some ways the UK is really showing us what's going to happen to us. When you have a highly leveraged consumer sector like we are in the U.S., and you have rising prices and taxes, that what happens, I think, is that the consumer gets squeezed. So in the U.K., for example, just today, they reported a decline in retail sales once you exclude gasoline. And I think that something like that happens in the U.S., not right away. I mean, next week, the U.S. will report a first estimate on Q1 GDP. It looks like something north of 1% at an annualized rate. Nothing to write home about. But we do seem to have some decent momentum. So far, that is to say that the high interest rate hasn't choked us off yet, partly because Americans have something that most other people in the world don't have, 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. So we do see mortgage rates rising, of course, above 5%, but it's not hurting the existing households that have homes with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. So it takes a little while longer for the higher interest rate to begin biting Americans. On the other hand, other countries like the UK don't have such mortgage products, and the interest rate impact is it's not immediate. It's very quick.
Mark, final comment then, if we're talking currencies, let's also talk precious metals, because those have done better, but are definitely off their highs and also ending the week pretty poorly. However, look, there's still a lot of turmoil in the world, and there still is a war going on in Ukraine, which can keep precious metals prices higher. What's your outlook for the precious metals?
Yeah, it's gonna sound kind of weird because it hasn't worked so well lately. But I still think that higher yields, and again, it's not just in the U.S., like you mentioned, Canada's hiked 50 basis points, and the market's pricing in at three or four more meetings of 50 basis point rate hikes by Canada. Market's talking about 50 basis points before the end of the year from the ECB, a series of 25 basis point hikes from the Bank of England. Higher rates, I think, sort of saps the interest in gold. I know the war in Ukraine, there's some safe haven flows, but I sort of thought that the price action earlier this week, when gold tested that $2,000 level and came off very sharply, we're finishing the week on near its lows, and it wouldn't surprise me to see a move back down towards 1900. That's where I think some more solid support is. But for me, the driver here really is rising interest rates saps the interest of non-interest-bearing securities, non-yielding securities, which we've seen also with crypto, which is really falling out of bed as well.
All right, Mark, thank you, as always, for your time. Very interesting chatting markets and currencies. I do appreciate all of your comments, and I appreciate your time on our weekend show. Everybody, this wraps up the weekend show. Thank you for tuning in. Mark, everyone, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.